You're listening to The Court Report with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart.
Welcome to The Court Report. I've lost track of how many we've done. This is either the fifth or sixth one, but...
Magic, either way.
It's an indication that the season is starting to move along a little bit. Jerry Price here, as I am each Wednesday, with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Did you want to introduce your special guest?
I have a special guest today, my three-year-old son, Tucker.
Who has said he is not going to say hi, but maybe we can get him to say hi.
Can you say hi, Tucker? Say hi. Nope.
No, nothing from Tucker?
Nothing.
Tucker's busy with his game.
Yep.
Speaking of games, you had two last week, Villanova and Delaware. Two good challenges, two kind of different takeaways, I would think, from those two games. The loss to Villanova, who came in ranked 25th. Delaware was a fairly convincing win. I mean, I didn't really come away from that game thinking that there was any time that Princeton was going to lose that game. And then looking ahead this week, there's the game tonight at Lafayette, and then at Quinnipiac next, and then at Rutgers after that. So let's talk a little bit about last week's game. Let's start with Villanova. Brought a good team here, and it was a really competitive game, went right down to the end. And I mean, in some ways, are you more pleased after that game than you are after the 18-point win over Delaware? I mean,
It's such a disappointment, though. You have a chance to beat a top 25 team on your home floor, and it's hard to get those people to come and play you. And we knew it was going to be a great opportunity. And I told my guys at halftime that two good teams, it's going to come down to who makes more plays. And unfortunately, they made more plays late, which possession game mattered. So disappointing, but a lot of takeaways that were really positive.
Right. And I mean, to see how your team competed against a team on that level. So if Villanova is a top 25 team, your team's not that far behind.
Absolutely. And we knew that they play a really unique style offensively, so we had to be solid defensively. And they play a low possession game, so we had to be efficient. We didn't turn it over much. A lot of good takeaways.
And then the Delaware game got off to a nice lead. They tied it briefly in the second quarter, and then never really had the sense that that one was getting away. Do you feel the same way? Like when you're like, because as I'm watching the game, I was doing the PA for that game, so I'm right next to the bench. I never really got the sense that they thought they were going to win. I never got the sense that you thought you were going to lose. But what do you as the coach think?
I was most pleased, honestly, with the fact that Bella, who probably had the best game.
I was going to get back
career,
to her.
Yeah,
that was my next thing.
You're
ruining this whole thing because we're going to lead up to Bella.
We're like a battery.
All right, let's start with Bella.
Okay, well, she played such a great game against Villanova.
But she also played a great game against Delaware.
I agree.
And it was interesting because, so against Villanova, she had a career-high 29.
Yeah.
Comes back the next game and has 9.
Yeah.
But with 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks, maybe more.
And more importantly, Jerry, she took 16 shots. I think last year she would have taken 7 and would have gotten into her shell and would have said...
The thing about the 16, there's two things. One is the thing about the 16 shots is every one of them looked like they were going in.
Yeah.
And like you could see she was getting frustrated because they weren't. But there's nights like that. You're going to have a game like that.
No doubt. She kept going. And she went to her left way more than ever. She played poised.
Every shot rolled around, hit the rim.
Absolutely. And she stayed aggressive. I think that shows a sign of a mature player when it's not going her way and things are difficult and she sticks with it.
I am impressed right now that you are answering questions and playing a game with Tucker.
Well, I'm setting up his Mickey Mouse on my phone, which, you get skilled at that with a three-year-old.
But the other thing is, usually when you're a scorer, and I would consider Bella a scorer, when you have the mentality and you're a scorer and shots aren't falling, it affects every other part of your game. And in that case, it didn't. She was visibly frustrated. Like, she was slammed the floor after a couple of misses. And then would come down and rebound or play defense or like run the fast break and set people up and do everything else. And a lot of times the rest of your game falls apart when you're not,
You're exactly right. I said after the Villanova game to the media, I said, if you haven't had a chance to see Bella Allery play live, you're missing out. It's a really special player. And then she comes out and I thought played a very complete game. And, she was so frustrated and for no good reason except that I think she's finally starting to see, Jerry, how good she can be.
So let's go back to that Delaware game for a second. And for me, like watching your team play, like that was sort of, that's all of your good things on display. Like you have Tia Wileggi and Leslie Robinson, both have big offensive games. Leslie also had, I think she had 14 and 10. Tia had 22, which is her career high.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot from your seniors. Bella, sort of is the other team's central focus at all time. And if that's a normal night for her, if those shots are falling, she has 25 points to go along with the rebounds and the assists and all that stuff. But she does what she does. And then you have Abby Myers and Carly Littlefield, who are very quickly becoming, the players that you thought they were going to be.
No doubt.
And then you have, an army of players beyond that. And Taylor Bauer is another one that we haven't talked about yet.
Totally.
And for some reason, as I was doing the PI, every time she did anything, I would call her Nicole, and I don't know why.
Interesting. Okay. I guess you have a Nicole.
But, you know, and she's developing into becoming, you know, a really big part of the equation.
No doubt.
You know, let's talk a little bit about her, I guess.
Gosh, Taylor Bauer is a quintessential teammate. You know, we had asked somebody, we did this thing before the season and asked what's on everybody's bucket list, just to get to know the kids in that way. And we all sort of shared our bucket list item. And her bucket list item was that she wanted every interaction that she's ever had to leave the person that she left feeling positive. That's Taylor Bauer. You know, she's the best of all things. And she tore ACL the first workout last year.
Right.
So she's kind of a freshman again. She's rugged. She's got a great heart. She plays with great energy. And she's a kid you root for. So she's critical. And like you said, I just like that we have a lot of pieces. We're a really deep team. We're a hungry team. We're a cohesive team.
But they also really fit together well.
Exactly. Yeah, we always say show your stripe because you're all different. And we need little bits of each of them. And I think we can be a really special group as we continue to get better.
Talk about Myers and Littlefield. And, you know, when do you completely take the reins off of them? It looks like you've done that with Carly Littlefield.
Yep.
But, like, I mean, Abby Myers looks like, you know, each game she looks like she's more comfortable. And, you know, she's ready to, like, just, you know, go sink or swim almost.
The step away for Abby is going to be two things. One is when she catches it, not putting it on the floor right away. Because then she's going to be able to show how well she sees the floor for other people and how she can create other shots. And then not bridling her enthusiasm for the game. She just loves to play it. She plays with a high-risk, high-reward style at times, but she's locked in. And then defensively, playing at the pace that and the accountability that college requires. She's really special. She's really dynamic. And I think as she continues to learn amongst her really good teammates, she could be that really important factor for us.
And so when you have seniors like Willeji and Robinson, mm-hmm. You know, veterans have played a lot. Leslie's played more than Tia, but Tia's played a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, how do they fit with younger players?
You know, I tell every year, I tell all my seniors that what you want to be remembered for is the team that you led. And so the strength in our team is going to be the pieces. And if they can help the pieces take care of business, then they've succeeded as seniors. And whatever they give us on the side is truly on the side. They are the leaders of this team, and they need to make sure that all of our pieces are rolling.
Right, but that's also the kind of thing that can, you know, really tear teams apart if it's not done right, where
Absolutely.
You have, you know, let's face it, I mean, you know, you have a sophomore and two freshmen who are rapidly becoming the, you know, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them, and then you have seniors who are like, wait a minute, we're the seniors, and like, if their attitude is bad about that,
it can be a challenge.
Right, but it doesn't seem like that's the case at all.
No, these seniors really understand that they want to put a banner up in their senior year, and that's the things you remember. You remember winning any banner, but your sophomore year, your junior year, your freshman year, nothing's like winning a banner in your senior year. And I think all three of our seniors are singularly dialed into that focus.
So we got questions.
Okay.
We got questions.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm ready. Hold on. I gotta shift in my chair a little.
This is some good questions. Sucker, you want to say hi yet or no? No? He shook his head. That's a good sign.
We're making progress.
So, okay. So a lot of this is about recruiting. Oh. And it's actually kind of an interesting subject. You know, I know a lot about lacrosse recruiting. I know very little about basketball recruiting.
Well, I know nothing about lacrosse recruiting because we're a good team.
So the questions are, there's a bunch of questions here. But one is, what is the most common means of identifying potential recruits? So how exactly do you find players? Do players reach out to you or do you find them? The next one is, would Princeton accept graduate transfers, which obviously in the Ivy League you're not permitted to play as a graduate student.
Right.
So the answer is nobody in the Ivy League can do that. Mm-hmm. And then in the absence of athletic scholarships in the Ivy League, how can middle-class families afford to send their basketball-skilled daughters to play for the Lady Tigers?
Yeah.
So these are very good questions.
They are very good questions, and they're all different. You know, I think the way in which we recruit is that we'll go out to these massive major tournaments that have maybe 40 courts going at a time, and we are on the move. I mean, my Apple Watch is telling me that at 10 a.m. that I've met my workout requirement and I'm wearing flip-flops, you know. But I go around each court and I just try to write up the very best players on all the courts. And I'll find out their academic transcripts later. And they can be anywhere from freshmen, sophomores to juniors. Of course, we also get people who reach out to us, in which case we sort of contact some of the people and coaches in the area and kind of see where we're at there. And then we also have our institutional elite camps where we encourage people to come and be seen and coached by our players and by our staff. So that's helpful as well. And then the scholarship piece, you know, I do think people...
That's Tucker chiming in.
Tucker has an opinion. You want a different show, buddy? So I think the scholarship piece is that, you know, Princeton's going to meet your demonstrated need, both literally and figuratively. And so for us, it comes down to who can value the educational component and the opportunity that Princeton provides. And honestly, basketball's important to these kids. And so who they want to play for and who they want to play alongside. And as you can imagine, I'm selling that a lot as well.
So let's go back to the identifying players.
Yeah.
You're going to these events and you're, mm-hmm. like, you have a list of, I want to watch these 100 players or these 50 players that I already
about? I might always, yeah, there'll be a list of 50 or so that we already know about because I've either seen them at previous tournaments or they've reached out in their own interest, or we've heard from an alum that they have been helpful in their community, on their community team. But really, we're just trying to, at every tournament, we want to make sure that we have taken note of all of the best players of the tournament.
So what percentage of the kids over the last, say, you know, 5-7 years since you've probably gotten into your routine of how exactly you want to do this, are kids who have reached out to you before you've seen them play? And then what is the percentage of kids that you've gone and sort of found?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jerry. I can kind of use our institutional camp as an example. So Blake Dietrich, you know, one of the best players to play in the Ivy League and maybe here as well. She's someone who who I recruited her against? Was our own lacrosse coach.
That's right, yeah.
She was one of the top five lacrosse players in the country. And so she does that. And I said, hey, listen, if you want to be seen by the basketball coach, you're going to have to come to our institutional camp and I'll take a look. And I called Chris Saylor at noon the next day and I said, we're taking her. And so there's a mermaid. You love mermaids. And so, you know, I think for her, it was elite camp. For Tia, it was elite camp. For other kids, it was they've reached out to us. You know,
they send you video and stuff like that?
Yeah,
playing,
I think more they reach out with their academic profile and then we contact their coaches. We have a lot of contacts now nationally. Taylor Bauer came to our elite camp, but we also knew a little bit about her. And so it really depends on the kid. I would say probably 75% we find on our own, 25% we know something about ahead of time.
And I would think that, what's that like? You're sitting in these gyms, or, I mean, you gotta love what you're doing.
I know, I was going to say, you lose weight, first of all, because the games start at 8 a.m. and they end at, the last tip has to tip before 10 p.m., and so as a result, you know, I would give a lot of credit to our staff. We don't take time off. We don't go eat. We don't go take a nap. We don't go work out. I mean, for us, it's about using every hour we can that we're given by NCAA regulation to recruit.
Do you love it? I mean, do you love to watch the basketball?
You know, I love that I've got 2 Ivy League degrees, Jerry. And in part, what I'm doing is watching basketball for a living. I do love that. I think the recruiting can get old. Hey, buddy, I'm on the radio. Do you know that?
Say hi, Tucker.
Can you say hi? What's your favorite color?
Is it blue like your eyes?
No.
No?
What color is it?
Pink. You like pink?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Pink. Pink's pretty cool. I got three-year-old twin boys, and last week we brought in something with the letter H, and my Eli brought in a hammer, and Tucker brought in high heels. So we got different kids here.
And are they the same size? I hadn't noticed that they're exactly the same size.
No, my little guy is a lot smaller.
the whole concept of recruiting... You know, that's like, you could be the greatest X's and O's coach of all time. You need the players.
Absolutely.
And you get the players.
Gino Auriemma, the UConn coach, says one thing. He says there are 2 types of coaches. Those that can recruit and those that get fired.
Those that are unemployed.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd like to think that my staff and I do a great job recruiting.
Right. But I also think that, you could drive yourself nuts sitting there, I think, like, you know, trying to identify the kids and, like, sitting in all those. I don't think people understand that part of it, like the discipline that goes into it. And
the time commitment. You have to also, I think at Princeton what makes you special is you have to be willing to put your neck out there. You have to be willing to go for, like Abby Meyer. She turned down a Stanford offer, right? You have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take a risk on a kid that has a lot of other great options, Northwestern, Vanderbilt. These are all kids we recruit against all the time. And I'm okay. I'd rather be told no because I went after someone than wonder, would they have come to Princeton? Would they have seen the value of this place? And we've gotten a lot of really good players to choose Princeton that probably otherwise...
But that's how you separate your team. I mean, that's how you build Ivy championship teams and top 25 teams and win a state tournament game and
You've
all that kind of stuff.
You've got to get the very best players. And then what, you get a couple, and then the next one wants to come.
I mean, one thing that's interesting to me is... So Bill Tierney, the former lacrosse coach here, he's at Denver.
Great dude.
Right, so he always talks about how... You know, you want to go out and you want to watch some kid play in the summer who's, in lacrosse terms, 6'4 and 220 pounds and runs through 30 guys and shoots it hard. And, you know, you say, okay, I got to have that guy because you're so impressed by what they do as an individual in the showcase event. And then they get to your team and you're like, well, how come you're not a team player? So at the same time that you're trying to do that, do you have a sense that you're building a team like you have now where you have 2 seniors who are, a group of seniors who are, like, bought into the program, and then you have, like, you know, a very good team chemistry that you've put together. Is that a coincidence, or is that once you get to be...
No, I work very hard at it. I probably work hardest at that, is I recruit the best talent I can, pieces that are different from one another, that, you know, some are more rugged, some are better scorers, some have better handles, some are better defenders, Some have better athleticism, some are more skilled. Put them together, and then 365 days a year, I'm teaching cohesion. I'm teaching unity. I'm teaching winning. I mean, the people that the winning, what separates good from great is inside the locker room. And so what happens inside the locker room is one of the most sacred things coaches can do.
So you have Lafayette tonight. Yep. Quinnipiac is Saturday.
Yeah, that's on Saturday at 1, and that's a that's they won the Sweet 16 Quinnipiac last year. So that's going to be another huge test for our team, and I know we'll be ready and excited.
And what does Lafayette bring?
Lafayette brings a road game, so that's a big thing for us.
Sort of like an Ivy League type of situation
sort of like
going
an Ivy
on the
Ivy. Yeah. Yeah, on paper, we're probably expected to win that game, and we're going to have to go out and exert our will. We're going to have to defend positionally. We're going to have to be aggressive on offense and really on the road, get off the bus and go play.
So that's Lafayette tonight. It's Quinnipiac Saturday. We'll come back next week and talk about those games, and then we'll also look ahead to Rutgers, which is always an interesting
awesome
game. So, Tucker, you got to say goodbye, though. Can you at least say goodbye, buddy?
Say goodbye.
Give us a goodbye. Give us a go Tigers. There you go.
There you go, buddy.
For Tucker and for Courtney Bankhart, Jerry Price, thanking you again for being with us here on the Court Report, and we will talk to you again next Tuesday. Once again, thanks for all your support of Princeton Women's Basketball.
Thank you.